Let us turn our focus on to Unity and Upper Nile states, where conflict and flooding are raising the demand for humanitarian needs. Now, the International Rescue Committee is on the ground there to respond with the life-saving services, but finding shortfalls are making the work even more challenging.
And with us in the studio right now, we are joined by the Deputy Director for Programs at the International Rescue Committee, IRC, Cosmos Ayela. Good morning, and thank you so much, Mr. Cosmos, for joining us this morning.
Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, Radio Miraya.
Yes, thank you for being with us this morning. And to start this conversation, you help us understand the scale of the challenges in Upper Nile and Unity States, where you are now providing emergency response.
Both Unity State and Upper Nile are grappling with a number of crises. There are several multiple crises that are going on. Well, let's start with the displacement of more than 200,000 people recently displaced as a result of the crisis that is going on. Yes, we have more than 200,000 people who have been displaced as a result of the current crisis. As we all know, in Unity and Upper Nile State, several counties are experiencing armed conflict from both the opposition and government forces. We also have the cholera outbreak that is never seems to be going away. Recently, we have over 30,000 new cases spread around the country that we are responding to as the International Rescue Committee. The International Rescue Committee is also responding to the prolonged flooding that is taking place in Unity and Upper Nile State. And so these are factors that are really increasing the scale of the challenges in these counties.
Mm, right.
Yes, and just following on the intervention, the rescue that you guys are taking on the ground, nearly 250,000 people need assistance, and but you had to scale down to 50,000 people. What strategy did you guys use to pressurize them?
Yes, this is really a moral dilemma question, and thank you for asking that question. We are choosing, taking something small that we have away from the hungry to the starving. Mm. We are looking at choosing people who are living in open spaces and trying to serve them rather than looking at people who are in makeshift shelters as a result of the displacement. Mm. We are looking at people who are critically ill that we need to choose to support with the little that we have rather than people who are sick but they are able to walk to the nearest health facility. So it's we are looking at a criteria that we are using to save life. It's really focusing on saving life. The International Rescue Committee, with their mandate of humanitarian assistance, is really to ensure that we elevate people, remove people away from critical situations to be able to live and survive and gain control of their lives, yes.
Yes, Mr. Cosmos, maybe you tell us more about the services now you're providing to these 50,000 people. What kind of services are you providing to these people who are really need in these communities in Upper Nile and Unity States?
We're providing health services through mobile sites, going to the places where people have been displaced. We're providing services, health for the cholera response in Panyija, in Rubkona, as well as providing health cash assistance to people in Ulang, in Nasri, as well as Panyija County. Mm. We are also providing protection services for women and children who are affected by this crisis, people who are displaced, ensuring that they have the protection that they need, especially for women who are living in open spaces, children who are sleeping in the rain outside. So we are providing these services to ensure that at least the bare minimum basic needs is provided. Mm. The food assistance through the cash assistance, the multi-purpose cash assistance, people are able to buy something small to go off through the night. Yes. Mm.
You are providing cash assistance to these people so that they can go to market and maybe buy some things that they need. But there are also some reports of, there's not enough food items in these areas along the Nile, for example, Nasir and Ulang. So have you also looked into that?
We are looking into that. We have done a needs assessment. Mm. We have done a market assessment in the nearby counties and the areas where people are able to take food to the markets. We are trying to work together with the traders in those locations to ensure that the little that the people need can be taken, especially food items that they can be able to get. It's very challenging, we all know, with the situation. There's no free movement in some locations. People have moved away from the center of the town into the communities in the deeper Payams. And so we are trying to give people some hope that they can be able to get something to eat and something to make them go throughout the night, yes.
Right. And are you giving this money, this cash assistance, per individual or per households?
We are focusing on the household. We are looking at a mother taking care of all her children, taking care of her husband, a mother being the focus here, because the women then will bring the entire family together. So we are looking at the households, really.
Okay. Yes. And now, Mr. Cosmos, we see that the famine early warning systems provide information, particularly on early detection. How do you normally use this information in your planning, or if you are trying to lay down any strategies to respond to communities that are facing any kind of challenges?
The early warning systems, the FuseNet, the International Rescue Committee, and everybody else, including the government, use this data as indicative planning figures for both response as well as planning. So we are using this data to be able to plan ahead, to be able to talk to donors, so that donors can be able to know the scale of the situation in the country. As you have seen from our press release, the situation is not looking very good. We are tending towards catastrophe. Very many, a high number of people in different counties are in IPC5. Mm-hmm. So the International Rescue Committee uses this data to be able to plan, to be able to inform responsible parties to support in saving lives.
And as you're responding to this situation and all the challenges that is going and happening around, all this happening at a time when the humanitarian sector is facing funding challenges. Now, how are you coping as the situation seems to be demanding a scale up of activities?
Yes, the humanitarian sector right now is really facing great challenges with funding. The International Rescue Committee, what we are doing is we are really doing so much with so little. It's a new way of working, focusing on the needs. The little that we have, we say, let's share it with the most critical, the most vulnerable in the community. But that does not mean that we are not calling upon the donors, we are not calling upon responsible parties to come and support in this work. Because if we don't do this, the little that we have, we don't share it with the most vulnerable, then we will see catastrophe, we see people dying. And so we are doing so much with so little. The money is not enough, but we are called upon as the International Rescue Committee. With our mandate for humanitarian work, we have to do this. But we are calling upon everybody to chip in, to support, because every little we put in there will save a child's life, will save a woman from not feeding her children, will save people from sitting under trees instead of staying in a sheltered place where they can stay over the night without rain disrupting them.
Mr. Cosmos, earlier you mentioned that before responding to these communities, you conducted a needs assessment. And now you are urging the donors to step up. Now, what are the most urgent funding gaps that you have seen or you have documented maybe during your needs assessment, and how can support be mobilized quickly, maybe to add this number from 50,000 maybe to more than that?
The most urgent need right now is water. We are providing some health services through mobile teams, nutrition services, but we don't have water for the people. They are drinking from the nearby wells, from the nearby swamp water. And so WASH is an activity that we really call upon support from the donors, as well as food security, because we are not giving much. We are just doing basic cash programming for people to be able to buy something to survive. But we need livelihood activities. We need food for people to be able to survive. Shelter and non-food items is another area that we are calling upon our donors to support in. Protection needs keep rising. And so, we need to continue fundraising for protection needs. So the needs are really huge. The needs are enormous. But where everybody can be able to put in the little, the International Rescue Committee, all NGOs will be helpful, will be happy that that money is coming in to support these people in need. But really critically, we need to be able to give people clean water to drink. We need to be able to provide health services. We need food for people. We need shelter for people to be able to stay in, and of course, their protection needs. Yeah.
And maybe Cosmos, Mr. Cosmos, you mentioned something about you are urging, you're calling on other partners to come in and extend a hand of support. Any reactions? Have you guys realized any reaction and outcome of your call for other partners to come in and support your effort and strengthen what you are doing on the ground?
Yes, we are calling on partners. We put up a press release to ensure that everybody comes on the table. We're calling on like-minded organizations. Right now, we're working with two national NGOs to support us in Olang as well as in Nasri to support the response. IRC cannot be everywhere, and so we're calling on all other partners, NGOs, development partners, even the government, to be able to lend a hand to support in the work that we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And looking beyond emergency relief, what are the plans to help rebuild a sustainable health system and livelihood amid all these challenges? And, it seems to be huge and something going to be quite for a long time. So what is plans forward and what do you have on system?
We're calling on the conflict parties to come to peace. I think that is the only way of ensuring that there's sustainable, livelihoods, sustainable health systems. If we call for peace, let's put all our hands together and we say that let's make sure that children are sleeping overnight without waking up thinking that something is going to fall from up on their roof. Let's call upon everybody to put in the hand. Let's call on the development partners to start funding for sustainable development activities, livelihoods. The swamping issue, the flooding issues, we have seen this going on for the last 5 years. Farms are washed off. We need really sustainable development funders, donors, to be able to support in this area. For us to be able to change the context right now and move from emergency relief to development, we really need that peace for the people to be able to move freely, to be able to tilt their land, to be able to wake up and say, this is the livelihood I want to do. Let's give people a choice to be able to think through their lifestyle.
Yeah, maybe lastly, Mr. Cosmos, now you are responding in Olang and Nasir. Do you have any plans to extend this response to other places that are affected by war?
Yes, that is the bigger plan, to be able to extend. It's the resources that we have, the mega resources that we have right now, is making the International Rescue Committee to support in Olang, in Nasri, in Panyija County, as well as we're thinking of extending to Rubkona with the flood response and cholera. That's what the mega resources we have right now can do. But if we get donors coming on board and supporting this work that we are doing, then we know the scale of the conflict and the scale of the epidemics that is going on. So there are counties like Fangak, we know what's going there. There are other counties like Mayom, where we can be able to extend and then work together with other partners, not only the IRC, but other both national and international partners to be able to scale up this response.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mr. Cosmos Ayala, for joining us and helping us understanding and having this conversation about this very important issue. We'd like to appreciate your time and say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Radio Mirai. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you so much. Is it Mr. Menbitana, Dekan Cosmos Ayala, Min IRC, Wakan, Huabit Kalamana, and Tadahulat, Awalamal Humogabin Bill, Fidmanatical in it Kalamnan, and Hanemshi Fasil, and Rio Noasil.